Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we conclude our study of Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7. This is part 2 of 2.
By hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You don't just conjure it up. A good gospel song might bring you to tears and give you chills and make the hair stand up on the back of your neck, but it doesn't give you faith. Even Christian fellowship, it can be an encouragement. And I love you guys. And I would stop coming to church and all I had to preach to was Jenny and Cammie and Sebby. I'd be disappointed. I love Christian fellowship. Amen. But that's not where I get my faith. I get encouragement, love, companionship, friendship, whatever. Love every bit of it, but that's not where my faith comes from. My faith comes from this book. And if you have faith, that's where your faith came from. And so you can't let anybody talk you out of it. The reality is, God gave and kept His words pure. Amen. But you have to ask where they are. And I'm convinced it's in the King James Bible. Psalm 56:4. In God I will praise His Word. You know what you'd be called if you do that by Christians today, John? You know what you'd be called. What would you be called? What'd you say? Offspring of John?
Yeah. Book worshippers?
Book worshippers? Yeah. Bibliob... Yeah, you're going to get yourself in trouble again. Bibliolaters is what they call you.
Yeah.
Bibliolaters. Bible thumpers.
Yeah.
They'll say you worship a book. Well, I don't worship a book, but I sure will praise His Word. Why? Because Psalm 56:4 says that's what you ought to do. In God I will praise His Word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Had somebody write one time say, your statement of faith starts with the Bible and it ought to start with God. I said, you're wrong. I wouldn't know God if it wasn't for the Bible.
Amen.
I'd start with, where am I getting my information? And then I give you the information. But that's not where most people start. And they'll tell you, oh, I just think it's all about Jesus. Well, which one? The one in Mexico or the one the Mormons are worshiping?
The one next to
the Allbaugh's. There's a Jesus over there. Which Jesus are you talking about? The only way you know that you got the right Jesus is because you start with the book. You don't start with Jesus. Jesus reveals Himself through His Word. And if you didn't get your Jesus through the book, you're in trouble. So, Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him.
Amen.
I've got His Word. And I want you to share that kind of confidence in your book that you have called a King James Bible in English. Now, if you're somebody, some other language, they'll have to fend for themselves. I don't speak those languages. There's people who are in Spanish missionaries who like to fight about which Bible. There's a couple of Bibles that are even based on the right text that they disagree on. I think it's 1865 and then the recent one by Gomez. They like to fight about it. I'm not going to get involved in that. I can't read it. I don't know which one's which. But when it comes to English, I know where my Bible is. Amen?
Amen.
So real quick, if you have a question, Q&A, we got the microphone and we got it hooked up to speakers again, but you got to use it. Because, yes, Jenny, could you just be our Vanna tonight? And No, wrong way. It's up here. you can, we'll pull it out first and then, yeah, you're supposed to take it off there first. All right, anyway. Jenny, do you have a question?
So you said at the beginning that they based their argument on the fact that thy word is settled in heaven.
Yeah.
Well, how do they know that's the Bible if they don't have a Bible?
Good point.
That's my question. They don't.
They don't.
You start with their very basic premise and it's faulty.
Amen. Start wrong, end wrong. Amen. Okay. I'll let you. Wait, before you do that, I came with my own Q&A. They asked the question, but hasn't the King James Bible been revised? How many of you heard that?
Well, they've changed the King James Bible since 1611.
Well, it's a question of what do you mean by revised? Words mean things. Fact, the word revision does not fit what has been done to the King James Bible since 1611 and 1769. Our edition you're reading now is 1769. It wasn't a revision in the way that they used the word revision. The improvements that they made on the King James since 1611 is, first of all, they changed the print type from Gothic to whatever yours is, which most of the time is like Roman, Times New Roman, and we need that one kid off that one show who's a font expert. But and why? Because you remember the founding fathers used Gothic, and so what is it? Your F's look like S's,
yeah.
Or vice versa, and you know it was hard to read. And so they changed that. That's one of the revisions. It's not a revision. They just changed the font. They also changed spelling. Why? For two reasons. Number one, because words change spelling. The word year was, as a matter of fact, in 1611, there was no rules. You could spell year Y-E-E-R-E, Y-E-A-R, or Y-E-R-E. It didn't matter. As long as it sounded right, it's phonetic. So then later they come up with rules and say, ah, come on, let's all get on the same train here. Spell at least a few words the same, you know. And so that's why they made those spelling changes in the King James Bible. And the other thing was, it was just textual changes, printer errors. Now folks, if you don't realize that God's Word doesn't change, but the printer can screw it up.
Amen.
And they had some screw-ups in some of the print that was out. And so, just a couple examples real quick. Is the words this thing, they changed to this thing also. The printer left out a word. It wasn't the Bible. The original King James Bible had the word in there, but the printer left it out. Shall have remained was changed to ye shall have remained. Akzib nor Helbeth nor Aphek was changed of Akzib nor of Helbeth nor of Aphek. And so forth. You see those kind of changes? That's the kind of changes they made. They didn't change the words, but they did have to correct some things that were messed up by the printer. And if you want more information on that, there's a great little booklet and article, The Myth of Early Revisions by Pastor David F. Reagan. He's gone to be at the Lord already, I believe, at BibleBelievers.com. Charlie, you have another question?
Yeah, this is a jump to a different topic.
No, I need that.
Okay, so I was just thinking about Nehemiah. That was the Babylonian captivity was 400 years.
No, 70.
The Babylonian captivity is 70.
Years? Yeah, Jeremiah 25.
So were there kings in? Were there kings in Israel after the return from Babylon?
There were governors that were placed there by Babylon until it was taken over by the Greeks and then the Romans. And the situation was like it was with Jesus, where you had a king, Herod, but he wasn't a Jew. Yeah, he wasn't from the tribes, but he was king over Israel. But he wasn't a Jewish king like God.
Do we know approximately what year the Jews returned to Israel?
Yeah, they started returning there about five. Let me see. It was around. I had it, then I lost it. About 515, 516, right in there, they started going back. And it was a slow process. A lot of them didn't want to go back, like the New York Jews. They don't want to go back to Israel.
They will.
They will. Yeah, once that rapture happens, for sure they're going to head out of town. So, yeah, can you pass that over to Jenny? But, yeah, that's all great information to get. All right, this will have to be you have to make it quick.
All right, I guess I'm ready.
Yeah, turn on. Turn on.
Justin Cox says, Greg, how would you answer someone that says, well, you got your King James because of the Catholic Church? I hear this one often.
Yeah. There's nothing to do with the Catholic Church. The King James Bible has nothing to do with the Catholic Church. So you're dealing with somebody who's been probably watching YouTube videos to get their information. The Catholic Church, it was the Anglican Church. King James was Anglican. The King James translators were Anglicans, which is not Roman Catholic, it's Anglican. Not Roman. Yeah. Yeah. And but to answer that question is the Catholic Church. Well, let me put it this way. There is a lot of information that can go into that to help people have better understanding. And I would recommend going to Chick.com. Jack Chick's organization under David Daniels put out a book, Did the Catholic Church Give Us Our Bible? And we've got a copy of that in our library if any of you have questions about it. Did the Catholic Church give us our Bible? But the short answer is it doesn't have anything to do with the King James. The Catholic Church had nothing to do with it. And as a matter of fact, the Catholic Church did everything they could to keep Christians from having a Bible, so it's a ridiculous comment. But the even non-Catholics who hate the King James only, King James Bible, movement or whatever you want to call it, they will propagate those same lies. So you hear it all the time. One, real quick, you guys said you have one.
I was just going to ask about, when was the Apocrypha taken out of the King James? Was that when
after the
1699?
No, it was after the first edition. It was only in the first edition in 1611. They only put it in there, just like most study Bibles have something between the Old and New Testaments to tell you what happened. But now they just give you like 1.5 pages or something. But instead, the King James translators put the Apocrypha in there. It was clear that it wasn't a part of inspired Scripture, but there were people who didn't like it, and so they decided to take it out after the first edition.
I think I read it was taken out in 1630.
Yeah.
It was called the Authorized Version when it was taken out.
So, yeah, Joe? I was going to say,
the Anglican Church is very much like the United Methodist. That's what my mother decided.
Now it is.
Yeah, because when she came to look for a church, she was Anglican, and she said United Methodist.
Yeah.
Closest.
Doug?
I was listening to the lady at Team Mobile, and she was from Greece, and they used something with the Orthodox Church.
I don't know what they believe.
So this was a lady what? I can say it again.
She was from Greece, and they used something with the Orthodox Church.
Yeah, the Orthodox Church broke off from Rome and dumped the Pope, but that's about the only major difference.
So it
was in the 16th century. They're about this, as far as salvation and everything, it's very works-oriented. There are some, I get in trouble for saying this, but I just believe this. There are some Christians in the Greek Orthodox. There are some Christians who attend these other churches in spite of their doctrine, not because of it. And then some of them later come out, and find good churches and attend Bible-believing churches at some point. But doctrinally, though, there are some differences in the Greek Orthodox. If there's a Greek Orthodox listening, he would go crazy hearing me say there's not much difference. But really, for us, if I were to describe the differences, you'd be like,
She does, when they go down, she would stick with God. The Greek Orthodox also have much better beards.
Yeah, the Greek Orthodox are better known for their beards. So, all right, let's close.
That's how you...
If you would stand.
Huh?
Stand if you can. We'll close the prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this great study and this great time we're having tonight in your word. And Christian fellowship is just a wonderful blessing. And I just pray that everyone here can sense that we love Jesus and we love one another. And I pray now tonight as we go home, we have safety and that you bless everyone and all their gatherings tomorrow. Whether it's in a home, a restaurant, or in a church basement. We just pray, Lord, your blessing be upon especially those who are going to have their hearts and minds settled on how thankful we should be for your blessings, especially for Jesus. We never want to stop thanking you for saving us. Thank you for dying on the cross and shedding your blood. Thank you for the resurrection, for the power of your resurrection, the victory over sin and death, and the promise of eternal life, all from this book whose words are pure. And we thank you again and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We had communion on Sunday, Veterans Day, a couple of weeks ago. And we want to share communion with our Wednesday night crew, some of whom aren't with us on Sunday or may not have been able to be with us. And we always want to emphasize that communion is really a very simple thing. It's a basic thing. What you see in a lot of churches today is not what God ever intended communion to be. What we are to do is simply take the bread that is unleavened, it is pierced, and the burnt edges speak of the payment for our sin that was also seen in the burnt sacrifice in the temple. And Jesus took the unleavened bread and he broke it. And when you see that bread breaking, you know that that signifies Jesus being broken, his body being broken for our sin. That's going to take that. Doug, if you take the wine and hand me a cup. You get one for Jenny. Take a moment of reflection. It's pretty amazing how simple it is and how God is standing ready always to forgive sin. And the communion is about Him being broken, His blood being shed to pay for the sins of the whole world. And Paul instructs us to be very careful in taking of the communion, because if you are living in unrepentant sin, or if you're unsaved and you take the communion, it's making a mockery of His broken body. And so if you would, let's take a moment and just between ourselves and our Savior. If you're saved, and I believe everyone here is, then you're fit for communion, but you do need to confess any sin and ask the Lord for forgiveness. And the Bible promises if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. This isn't going to do it.
Amen.
It's got to be you being saved and washed by the blood and your confession made to the Lord, not to any man, but straight to Him.
Amen.
So let's just take a minute and left. He took the bread and he broke it. He said, "Take, eat. This is my body." He took the cup and he said, "This is my blood. the blood of the New Covenant, the New Testament. Drink ye all of it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. You said, as often as we do this, we do it in remembrance of you. And our thoughts go to that cross, shed blood, the full payment, and those wonderful words, "It is finished." You also said that we should do this until you come.
Amen.
So we're reminded that you will come again.
Amen.
To receive us unto yourself. That where you are, we will be also. What a wonderful thing. Completely undeserved by any of us. Completely unmerited. All of grace. And all the glory goes to you. You alone are worthy of our praise, our thanksgiving, and our adoration. Lord, may we be a thankful people. A grateful people. And may we show it by the way we live. May we live lives of sacrifice, not to be saved, but because we are saved, presenting our bodies as living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service. All for your glory. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want you to turn over to 526. And I'm going to lead and try and quiz. This is our first time singing this. Little background. This was written by a fellow named Henry Alford. Looks like it was in the mid-19th century. And we have some of his relatives with us tonight.
Amen.
Jill and her offspring are all blood relatives.
Amen.
John's related by marriage. But the author of this song, Henry Alford, is an ancestor of theirs. It's pretty special. So I'm going to sing along with you the first three songs, and then when we sing the last song, I'm going to play this little last verse. And I'm going to try not to butcher it too bad.
Come, ye thankful people, come, raise the song of harvest home. All is safely gathered in, ere the winter storms begin. God, our Maker, doth provide. Take his harvest for
I just want to praise His holy name.
I just want to sing the name of Jesus. I just want to praise His holy name. He's the one who shed His blood to save us. I just want to praise His holy name. I just want.